He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the September 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we have a flat open for the market. The NASDAQ was up. But the NASDAQ has now pulled back to even. In fact, now it's down a point at 21,496. The Dow is down a point at 45,269. The S&P is up 3 points to 6,451. Small caps are off to a good start so far. You got a big drop in interest rates today, which is good for those multiples in the market. The Russell 2000 is up a quarter of a percent. And good news in the bond market here today, with the 10-year clear down to 4.18. We haven't seen that in a while, 4.18. That's the lowest rates have been for quite some time. I'd have to look it up, but last time we were this low. Gold is down finally today, about 1%, 84 basis points. It's at 36.05, however, and been hitting new highs recently. Crude oil, very soft, $63.15. And Bitcoin is down $1,700 at $109,952. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, I'm back from California, but we're turning around next 2 weeks from about a little over a week. Going back to California, so coast to coast.
Yeah, on the 15th, right?
Yes, the Best Stocks Now show, which is heard from coast to coast. We used to be up in the furthest northwest corner of the U.S. in Seattle. I think we might still be on a Portland station. And then, of course, clear down to Sarasota and everything in between. But the Bay Area is where we'll be going in about a week and a half, and we've had to get a bigger room for the workshop. So we got plenty of space now. 855-611-BEST to reserve a spot to that Tuesday workshop.
September 16th
at the Santa Clara Marriott, the hub of AI, I would call it there. And looking forward to that. Well, we had kind of a mixed day yesterday in the market, but the NASDAQ was up 1% yesterday. Google had an awesome day yesterday, otherwise known as Alphabet, G-O-O-G-L. It was up 9.1%, and I think you mentioned it yesterday. That's its biggest jump in many years on non-earnings related news, and it was all about the Department of Justice. I believe it was the Department of Justice going pretty easy on them as far as breaking it up, making them sell Google Chrome. None of that happened, and man, Google really took off. So Google's got some irons in the fire right now in AI. I think they've got the lead in robo-taxi. Now, how did a search engine become the leader in robo-taxi?
Right.
That's how powerful these tech companies are as they spread their wings, and that's why you had them in court facing antitrust charges. But, you know, they've got a lot going on over there at Google. And it is one of our largest holdings here at Gunderson Capital Management. Gold had another good day yesterday, breaking out to new all-time highs. And, of course, the gold stocks are also breaking out to new all-time highs, many of them, along with silver, which is now at over $41 per ounce, which we haven't seen in quite some time. And we haven't seen the 10-year down at 4.18%. Maybe there was a bit of a soft report today on private payroll, which means, does that mean we get the non-farms payroll report tomorrow?
We'll get the non-farm tomorrow. We got ADP today, which the ADP is always a little weird. In terms of employment, you know, it wasn't a terrible report, but it wasn't an awful report. It's, you know, or it wasn't a great report. So it's one of those kind of, not too hot, not too cold, kind of perfect, perfect storm report in terms of, you know, while we're seeing, as you mentioned, the 10-year down below 4.2%, which we haven't seen since early April. You're seeing more and more chances of a couple of Fed rate cuts.
I think this almost cinches it. Unless the non-farm payroll comes in very strong tomorrow, I think it's almost guaranteed that we'll get a 25-point cut.
We got a 97% chance right now for a cut in September.
And I think Waller is really kind of campaigning for the job because he said, I see several rate cuts between now and the end of the year, which, of course, is music to Trump's ears and would probably place him at the top of the list of replacements. Jerome Powell is definitely not going to be rehired. His days are numbered. He's a lame duck,
and I think
a lame hawk, I guess you could say.
Yeah, a lame hawk at the moment, right?
Yes.
It's interesting when you look at what the futures look like in terms of by the end of the year about an 89% chance of at least two cuts.
That's good.
So that's what the market is essentially pricing in. You actually have a 42% chance of three cuts. I don't. There might be a little optimistic on those folks.
Well, I'll see what the action is at Vegas at the Caesars Sportsbook on that. May put a few bucks down on that. Hey, speaking of sports books, tonight's the night, right? The NFL kicks off, right?
You got the Cowboys and the Eagles. So
yeah, the Cowboys, yeah, Super Bowl champion Eagles. So a lot of these sports stocks, Flutter and DraftKings and Caesars, et cetera, there's a lot of them now are
it's
on
a
watch.
Saturated market for sure.
Yes, and of course, college football is well underway. Our Clemson was upset by LSU here. I did watch a little bit of that, and my wife and I were at the Del Mar Racetrack on Saturday and Sunday. We went to a funeral at the track, of all places, to hold your funeral. But hey, you know, that's where he wanted his ashes scattered. At the Del Mar Racetrack.
That's pretty unique.
So I was in the paddock, the saddling paddock, with our friend that is one of the trainers there, and the San Diego State basketball team was in the paddock with me, and so was Steve Fisher, the legendary coach.
Oh, wow.
I got my
picture taken
with him.
Really?
And then, of course, his replacement, Coach Dutcher, was there. And I'll tell you, the strangest sight I saw in San Diego all weekend was a 7'1" center on the San Diego State Aztecs standing next to a 4'6" jockey ready to ride in the next race. He could have picked him up and put him on his shoulders. It would have looked a little silly. But I got my picture taken with the boys. I am an Aztec fan. That is my college team of choice. I root for those Aztecs every year in basketball. And I used to follow Don Coryell in the early days with Air Coryell, which was invented on Montezuma Mesa in San Diego. I was a witness to it. One of the most exciting offenses that you'd ever want to see. And, of course, he took it to the San Diego Chargers. And the one photo, big picture, signed, giant photo, as of Don Coryell, my hero, standing next to Dan Fouts calling a play there for the NFL Chargers, and it's autographed by Coryell, and Dan Fouts hangs on my wall, and it reminds me to always be on offense, be creative, be inventive. Don't accept mediocrity. Don't hand off the football for 2 yards, you know, like you do with Johnson and Johnson and Procter and Gamble and Colgate Palmolive and on and on and on. Initial jobless claims rise slightly more than expected. I wouldn't get too worried, 237,000. But the reason interest rates are down is the Fed is really keying on the jobs reports right now. They've said it. And let's hope for a soft non-farm payrolls report tomorrow. We've got a big winner in the market today, which we'll get to in a little bit. It was helping the NASDAQ. It's still helping the NASDAQ some. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I wonder how much AI has to do with job cuts climbing 39% in August, boosting the year-to-date total. We're only, early September here. We've already hit the numbers of 2024, and we still have 3 months left to go, 4 months left to go. A lot of it I know has been AI because companies have actually said it. You had Salesforce, which we'll get to. They reported earnings last night. Salesforce said that they cut 4,000 live sales people, Salesforce members, replacing them with AI agents. I think most of the job cuts seem to be coming from the tech world. AI, you're most susceptible, I suppose, to being
coding.
Replaced.
Yeah, and coding now. I mean, you've got a lot more. You've got AI writing more code. You don't need as many programmers there, and that's one space that you've seen certainly some cuts. And we've talked to clients that are teaching high school Talking about what should they study, and you would have been computer programming a few years ago, and now it's certainly not that. So
no, nuclear.
Yeah.
In fact, I was walking home from the Padre game, and there were some college kids walking home, and we got into a conversation. I asked them where they were going to college and what were they studying. I said, I got one word for you: nuclear. That's where it's at right now.
Right.
And the other one is of course, is AI, but I think that infrastructure for AI, because you don't want to be replaced by AI, you want to be building in that infrastructure area that is building out the whole AI system. Salesforce reported. We'll get to that. Hewlett-Packard Enterprises reported. Tonight, we got one more big one, really, and that's Broadcom. Broadcom is a pretty important player in the chip space, maybe number three behind NVIDIA and AMD. So we'll see how well they do. Quantum stocks rise amid news of NVIDIA investment in Honeywell's Quantinium. I didn't know that Honeywell was into quantum. I would never associate Honeywell. Let's just see if Honeywell stock, but it is lifting the other. I continue to avoid myself the quantum stocks. I want to see the whites of their eyes first as far as earnings, revenues goes. Honeywell is up 0.5%. They get an investment from NVIDIA. And, the other thing you got to remember about NVIDIA is it's kind of like buying SoftBank because you're getting the money's not being invested in a separate fund that's not associated with NVIDIA. NVIDIA is investing their excess cash. I'm glad to see they're not buying Dogecoin or you know, Poodle Coin or whatever with their extra cash. Instead, they're investing in a lot of the promising companies of tomorrow. But, of course, that quantum space, IonQ and Rigetti and Arket and quantum computing and D-Wave, those are your major players. I look at them every day. I think it's too far out right now.
It's almost like a biotech, right? It's like, you know, are they going to actually be able to pull it off and have a viable product that people will pay for? You know?
Yep. And speed is of the essence. And I guess to get that kind of warp speed, you got to get up into the quantum computing realms. Eric and Donald Trump. It's good to be the president's son. You know, Hunter Biden did okay financially while his daddy was the president and the vice president. And Eric and Don Jr. seem to be doing okay. They saw their stake in American Bitcoin Corp. It's not in my app. It will be in my app. This is my first time I've seen this stock. Apparently, they took an older stock that was drifting around and retooled it. It's ABTC. It makes a market debut at $1.5 billion following the company's market debut. It's a Bitcoin mining company backed by the Trump brothers, kind of like the Winklevoss twins.
Down 14% at the moment. Down $1.20 to $6.85. But American Bitcoin Corp.
Yes, and I will add it to the app. There's always a lot of maintenance to be done. There's always stocks that are leaving us, and there's stocks that are coming in. Judge blocks Harvard funding cuts. I don't know. I'm getting a little sick of these federal judges stepping. And maybe that's the checks and balances that the founder saw. But it seems like one judge or a panel of judges, look at what they've done. I mean, they've overruled almost everything
Seems like a handful of losses lately, or at least, unfavorable rulings for the administration lately. Every time I turn around, it's, we got the tariff decision recently. We've got decision. I've seen a number of other ones. It'll be interesting.
Well, a lot with the immigration, the deportations, sending in the troops to Washington D.C. I think maybe there's a little bit too much power in the hands of these federal judges. That's the way I see it. Florida is going to eliminate all state vaccine mandates. They're the first state to do that. So if you want to have a kid and not have to be forced to shove those vaccines into their system, you can go to Florida. There will be no vaccine mandate at all down there.
Isn't that an interesting, I think it's, being someone from Florida, born and raised there. My mom was a teacher there for 40 years. It's interesting how, the whole vaccine talk you heard a lot in Southern California, right, for the last decade or two, and then what state actually?
Yeah, it's flipped from the.
Now it's more of a conservative issue.
It was the blue state issue, and now it's a red state issue. NVIDIA's AI chips still wanted by Chinese firms, despite Beijing's pressure to not buy. And I saw something quoted here. I think it was Jensen Huang saying, the competition is definitely starting to enter into the fray here. Of course, NVIDIA has had a major lead over everybody, maybe years, and I'm sure Jensen Huang plans to stay ahead of the competition. The competition has undeniably started to arrive. Alibaba is coming up with the substitute for that H20 chip. And who knows, they may be nipping at their heels on their big chip that they have. Okay, we'll be right back. A lot of stocks reporting earnings here today. We'll be right back.
Will the top rise? just don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second to half of today's Best Stocks Now show. One of the charts that really stands out to me today is Amazon. And I don't see any news, okay? There must be some somewhere. Sometimes you have to go into the chat rooms at Yahoo Finance to find news. I look on Seeking Alpha. By the way, my article on Seeking Alpha had quite a few page views about the valuation, the current valuation of the market, putting it into perspective and comparing it with the 2000, the 1999/2000 valuation bubble in the dot-com stocks. We're not there yet, but there are some pretty lofty valuations in the market. And I'm not saying that they can't get loftier, but I did kind of mention what to look for now that we're kind of shifted from valuation to momentum that the market is trading on, right?
Yeah, it was trending. It was actually, the article was trending for a little bit on their site yesterday, which is hard to do since you didn't put the word dividend in the in the title.
So yes, I didn't put
trending articles.
Retire early on this 13% dividend yield. I try to avoid those, and I've kind of got another one in mind here that I'm working on an individual stock, but there is something going on with Amazon today. It is up 3.1%. I don't see a lot of volume on the stock, but that's a big day for a $2.5 trillion company to go up 3.1%, and we own Amazon. I bought it down in the value, relative value portfolio when its P.E. ratio dropped well below its long, its average P.E. ratio over the years. So anyways, there is something up there with Amazon. I don't know what it is. Now, here's another good lesson on companies that make acquisitions. Okay, and, you know, I've been on both sides of that equation. I've seen both sides of that equation, companies being acquired and companies acquiring other companies. And what you want is an accretive acquisition.
Right.
One, and the way you're going to get an accretive acquisition that adds to your EBITDA or your earnings is, number one, buying a company that is profitable. And hopefully then you can take that profitable company and you can get scale from it, right? You can eliminate certain departments. You can get rid of a lot of things where there may be duplicative, software programs or whatever. And you can also cut expenses through those economies of scale. And one of the better ones I'm seeing right now, T-Mobile sees $400 million Q3 boost from their buy of U.S. Cellular. And they raised their synergy target to $1.2
billion. Wow.
So this buy of, and I don't think it's being factored into the stock yet. I like T-Mobile, TMUS, because it's been so well run over the years. John Ledger was an excellent CEO. I think Sievert, who runs it now, is an excellent CEO. But, you know, number one, it obviously increases your sales when you make an acquisition. If you buy a company with $400 million in sales, which I think U.S. Cellular had, all of a sudden those become your sales. So you get a big boost in sales. And then as you look down the line, you start looking at your gross margins. And usually a lot of the savings will come in the overhead, the indirect expenses. But T-Mobile is expecting $100 million benefit in integration costs, including depreciation and amortization. Okay, that's one thing that you get. But they say that they're going to have $950 million savings in operating expenses within the original guidance range. But the EBITDA they've raised now to a hike of $1.25 billion from their original estimate of $1 billion. So whoever made this acquisition and did all the math and all this kind of stuff is turning out to be even better than they originally anticipated. T-Mobile is a fairly inexpensive stock, too. Of course, they're in a competitive industry, competitive business, but it's a $285 billion company, and their earnings growth has been very steady and very solid over the years. They've averaged 23% over the last 5 years, and the stock is currently trading at about 20 times, less than 20 times forward P.E. ratio. So I'm liking what I'm seeing there on T-Mobile. TMUS, Brinker International, that seems to be the one. That one and Darden have been doing pretty well. They seem to be the two big survivors in the mass nationwide restaurant industry. Brinker, I saw a Maggiano's in the Dallas airport yesterday, and I saw a couple of Chili's in the Dallas airport. But Brinker is being upgraded today. They point to attractive valuation, menu enhancement at Chili's. You know, that's pretty good. I mean, this is not like a new story.
Right. Yeah.
It's been around for a long time. But, you know, over the last 5 years, the stock Brinker, which has a great symbol of EAT, E-A-T, has delivered 27% per year to investors, versus 16 for the S&P 500. And over the last 3 years, it's averaged 83% per year for investors while the market's 21. And they haven't changed their logo lately like Cracker Barrel did. Just don't change that hot pepper logo. It's working. But anyways, if you were to buy a restaurant stock, EAT has a good chart. It has a very good track record. Now, we have a big winner in the market today, and it's in our Ultra Growth portfolio, which is doing very well this year, thank you, the Ultra Growth portfolio, and has done very well since inception back on January 1st, 2019. This is one step below Amazon and Netflix. And, you know, companies like that, one step below that, which is a pretty sweet spot, to be honest with you, because, you know, once you become an Amazon or a Netflix, your stock is going to be more, trading at, what is the word, efficient. And, you know, when you become a dividend player, it's really efficient. And it's very hard to squeeze alpha if there's a lot of efficiency. And the mega caps, you know, by nature, there's a lot of efficiency because they trade big volumes. They're on everybody's radar. They're owned by everybody just about. And it takes a lot for an inefficiency to come up, like Google yesterday. Okay, there was an inefficiency built into Google, but it was a risk whether or not they would get off easily in their antitrust trial. And they did. And all of a sudden, investors found a 9% little value, pocket of value in Google that was probably hanging over the head of the stock just in case that ruling would have come down in a draconian way.
Yeah, regulatory risk, right?
But that ultra growth portfolio, probably, if you're looking for the most consistent inefficiency area, like who's heard of Credo Tech Group? Well, we have, and we own Credo Tech Group. which you know, has solution for bandwidth barriers. But the growth has been phenomenal in earnings. This quarter that they reported, it's right up there with NVIDIA. Their sales were up 274%, and their earnings were up 999%. So it's obviously a four-digit earnings growth. The Investors Business Daily goes as high as 999. It's 52 cents versus 4 cents.
Yeah, and in that emerging growth portfolio, it's a perfect name for that. Like you said, and growing into,
a
lot that you've started there in emerging growth, and they've
actually it's
grown
an emerging
into
growth.
Ultra.
That's right. Yep. It's even a step below the ultra growth portfolio.
Yeah, but a lot of those, you've had in emerging growth, and then
yes.
they've grown into ultra growth
yes.
names as the company's gotten bigger over time. But
well, with this move today up to $137 per share, Credo's up 61% since we bought it on June the 20th. That wasn't that long ago. But they're forecasting triple-digit growth. So there's one to look into. It's now a $24 billion company. And, yes, now it's eligible for that ultra growth. The symbol is CRDO. Just a phenomenal earnings report today. We'll be right back. Back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management financial planning firm. And we have got a larger room. We're still at the Marriott there in Santa Clara, and I'm told that there are a few spots left. We added an extra day Thursday. That would be the 19th, September 19th, I believe.
I think it's the 18th.
18th, yeah. Okay.
So
but it
there
is
on the 15th, and then we got Tuesday's the 16th, 17th. Yes, the 18th would be that Thursday.
And
yeah.
Those days are totally booked, man. I'm not even going to have time for lunch.
No.
A little pack of peanut M&Ms maybe get me through the day. And
get a smoothie. Get a smoothie. Maybe get some substance that way.
Yeah, with ground-up peanut M&Ms. Thursday is the, also filling up very quickly.
Yeah.
And, of course, the workshop is Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. there at that Santa Clara Marriott. Now, back to this Credo story just for a minute. They delivered revenue of $223 million in Q1, representing a 31% sequential. That means versus the quarter prior to this, attributing this performance to demand for high-speed connectivity solutions in AI infrastructure. Those are all key words, key phrases there. Credo's growth has been fueled by strategic partnerships with hyperscalers. There's another key word. In fact, they have three of the major hyperscalers as a big part of their business, and those three companies are adding to a lot of the growth there at Credo, CRDO. I found it through my app. What is up with this stock? The track record is phenomenal. The valuation still makes sense for a hyper-growth company like this. And the obvious spot to buy it was in the emerging growth portfolio, which would kind of be like, I look at it this way. The NFL is the large, if you want a football analogy, college football would be the ultra-growth portfolio, where we're looking for those Heisman Trophy candidates. And this would be more your junior colleges, maybe, down in that realm, in that emerging growth. It's having a good year. It's having a really good year. It has done way better than the small cap index, which I think is the appropriate, index to put it up against. It has run circles around the S&P 2000 and the S&P 600 since I started it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of zombie-type companies in those, you know, those small-cap indexes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that you really don't want to own.
So the good ones really stand out, and you can get a lot of alpha in that area of the market if you're really vigilant and looking for that stuff and finding them early. That's the key. American Eagle, there's a surprising stock. It has not been a good performer over the years. It's a mall-based retailer. But I guess the best thing that they did was hiring Sydney Sweeney as one of their models. She's an actress. She did the controversial commercial here recently that some say paints American Eagle as a white supremacist. She talked about how proud she was of her white skin and blue eyes, something along those lines. I didn't see any ties to white supremacy there. You can make anything out of something that you want to, I suppose. But it brought them a lot of publicity. And their other collaboration is with Travis Kelce, which they announced shortly after his engagement to Taylor Swift. So it helps to have some good influencers out there, obviously. And American Eagle is up 30% today. I'm guessing there was a lot of short interest in American Eagle. They have 1,500 stores headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We've got a plan, our maiden trip to Pittsburgh, and obviously to Colorado. We've still got to plan a trip, and down to Houston, and now we're in Columbus, Ohio. So as soon as we get more than two listeners there, we're going to get a lot of listeners in Columbus.
Big
Ohio
short
State's off to a good start, by the way, after beating Texas on Saturday. They're going to maintain their number one ranking in college football. Hats off to American Eagle. And then you have
16.6% actually 16.6% short interest there. So big short squeeze, like you said.
Ooh, and they're feeling the pain today in those tight jeans that Sydney Sweeney models. I would have never been short that stock because of that, all the publicity they got. Sometimes there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's all publicity, and eyeballs to the name of American Eagle, AEOS. I've been saying for some time, Salesforce is not up to par. It's the representative, one of the representative software stocks in the Dow, along with Microsoft. And Salesforce put up some terrible numbers, and I've been saying for quite some time that their numbers are just not very good anymore. That stock is down 6.4% today, and that's weighing on the Dow Jones Industrial Average quite heavily. Salesforce is a $2.2 trillion. We've got a lot of $2 trillion companies, including Salesforce. But it's slowing down quite a bit, and their guidance was not good. Weak guidance, in fact. He's bound and determined to get rid of sales agents and replace them with AI agents. But the stock is down 6.6% today. All right, we're all out of time. We're going to have final numbers for this quarter on sales and the earnings season. I went over that in my article in Seeking Alpha, how this earnings season went. And we're starting to get the numbers and expectations. I mean, they've been out there for a while, but let's see where we begin the new earnings season, which isn't that far off. 4 weeks away, you're going to start another earnings season, the final quarter of 2025. And we'll have a preview of that in the newsletter. And, of course, an update on my 12-month target price for the S&P 500 and some of the buys and sells that we've made this past week. To get 4-week trial to the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us, a money management appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.